Welcome to the June 14th, 2013 Drupalize Me podcast. Drupalize Me. Hey there. So I am Addison Berry, your hostess for today's podcast. And today we have a very special guest with us on the podcast, Chris Epstein, who is the creator of a SaaS framework called Compass. You may have heard of it. He's also on the core SaaS team itself. And we're super excited to have him on to actually just tell us kind of what's up with that stuff. Before we dive into stuff, though, I have a few other people on the line with me. A couple of lullabots are hanging out here as well. I have with me
Chris Bowman. Otherwise known as Chris with a K. I'm a front-end developer at Lullabot.
And
Micah Godbolt, otherwise known as Micah Godbolt. Also a front-end developer here at Lullabot.
And last but certainly never least,
Carwin Young, also a front-end developer.
So we have a bunch of front-end developers on a SaaS podcast. How crazy is that?
Do you know?
That's so funny how that worked out. I don't know. So yeah, we're going to talk about SaaS and Compass and CSS preprocessors and what is that stuff and how is that changing how we do stuff on the web. But before we get to that, of course, we got news. And of course, related news, we actually have a SaaS series, a video series that's underway right now. I think we're about halfway through the series. We just put some more stuff out on variables, mix-ins, functions, and actually also the extend directive. So that stuff's up on Drupalize Me right now. You can check that out. In general Drupal news, code freeze is approaching for Drupal 8, July 1st. We're talking like 2 weeks away. So if stuff's going to happen, it has to happen in the next 2 weeks. So if there's something that you are really passionate about or interested in, even if you feel like, oh, I'm not a coder, I can't get involved, you can. There's a lot of stuff, a lot of work to be done in the issue queues that doesn't involve coding, and a lot of things that need to be hammered out. So if you want to put your imprint on Drupal 8, get on it right now. Let's see. And then also, recently, last week, actually, we announced a new program that we have for meetups, where if you have a meetup group and you want to have access to Drupalize Me videos for said meetup or random Drupal event, we are providing memberships for meetup groups. And then when you have an event, you let us know in advance and we'll open it up and give you free access for the day. So you can use it to, like, you know, if you want to talk about something at a meetup, but you don't actually want to stand up and present about it, just play a video from Drupalize Me and then discuss amongst yourselves, that kind of a thing. So I'll put some links in the podcast notes, but definitely check that out. We really want to come up with ways to really try and support local and regional groups. And so if you have ideas around that as well, definitely get in touch with us and let us know. I'm all ears on that front. And now we have the event list. And so normally I try to keep this pretty short by just picking like a few events that we're sort of at and representing at. But there are a lot of events that are happening and Lullabots are all over the place in the next month or so. So we have next weekend, Drupal Camp Austin. Then after that, Drupal Dev Days in Dublin. We'll also be doing a community tools workshop there. This is the last like big push and lots of sprinting for code freeze will be happening there. And I'll be in Dublin. Drupal Camp Colorado is happening June 29th, 30th. Jeff Eaton is keynoting there. Drupal Camp Toronto is happening in July and Andrew Berry is going to be keynoting. And then we also have Drupal Camp LA in July. I know there's going to be a couple of bots there. I'm not sure how many total are going to show up yet. And Twin Cities Drupal Camp is happening. And that's in July, in the middle of July as well. And we're doing a free PSD to theme workshop at that one. So tons of stuff there in terms of camps. And then related, but not campy, is there is a new Portland SaaS and front-end meetup that is happening July 11th at Puppet Labs that Micah is heading up. So that's pretty exciting. And I know that Mike is extremely excited about that. And then we also have some cool stuff related to this podcast where Chris is going to be speaking. SaaSConf is happening in New York City in October. The call for sessions ends tomorrow, June 15th. So if you want to get in on that and actually present, you should definitely go get your submission in. Chris is going to be keynoting, and then our front-end bots who are on this podcast as well, I'll have proposals in to speak, and I'm sure they're going to be there. In addition to, I would say, a handful of other bots are going to be showing up for that. Should be an awesome event. And then CSS DevConf near Denver, Colorado, not in near, in October as well. We've got Carwin and Micah going there, and Chris Epstein. It's kind of confusing with two Chris's on the podcast. If you could see how they were spelled, if you could imagine the speech bubble when I speak it, you would see the different spelling and you would know who I was referring to. But you can't. I'm sorry. It's audio. Damn. And then last event we have on the list is CSS Summit Online is actually happening in July, the end of July, 23rd, 25th. The 25th, that day, is dedicated to preprocessors, which is what we're going to be talking about on this podcast. And Chris is going to be speaking at that as well. So tons of stuff to get your fix on this coming up. You should definitely check out the events and, you know, rub elbows and get to know people. That's the cool stuff, man. So yeah, lots of fun stuff. The summer is busy, people. So after all of that, let's talk preprocessors. So SAS is a what's known as a CSS preprocessor. But what the hell does that mean?
I'll take that one. A preprocessor is a program that lets you write with one syntax and then spits out whatever you write into a different one. In the case of SAS, we get, you know, nice new syntaxes to use for styling our markup, and then that gets output into plain old CSS.
And why is that useful?
Because CSS is hard.
I'll jump on that one real quick.
Is CSS hard?
Oh, CSS is sometimes hard to manage when it gets into scale. Preprocessors give you opportunities to use variables, to use functions, and like prepackaged little mix-ins. So it just gives you a lot of power to abstract things out, so you're not just rewriting that, you know, one chunk of CSS over and over and over again.
So basically, you have a bigger, beefier tool set to actually make CSS do what you want.
Exactly. Big toolbox.
That, and it helps keep your code dry. Like, you don't have to repeat yourself as often, which I think is probably the most useful thing.
Yeah, you don't have to repeat yourself.
I see what you did there.
Oh, nice.
I'm glad you did.
So that's it in a nutshell. But there are, so we're going to be focusing on SAS in particular, but there are other ones that are out there. And so I'm curious if you guys have played with other CSS preprocessors and why you use SAS and like what the differences are and like why did you come to end up using SAS?
So this is Chris Epstein here. So SAS was one of the very first preprocessors. So all the other ones that have come out since then are just copycats. but I think they've all tried to do something different. And you would think that because they came later, maybe they would have learned from our mistakes and been better, but no. So I think less has some really great advantages. Less CSS is JavaScript based, so you can use it in your browser, or you can use it with Node.js. They have a very beautiful website, and so they tend to really target new users. And they provide a lot of the same features that SAS provides, but they've actually taken an approach. When they saw SAS, they saw too many features, too much power, like things that they didn't think were appropriate to be in a CSS style sheets language. And so they actually stripped away some of our features, and that's where the name Less came from.
Ah.
And so they do provide variables. They provide mixins. They do provide like extend selector inheritance. But they have a different take on all of those things, and they try to keep from introducing new syntax for the most part. They try to reuse existing CSS syntax wherever they can. And I would say by and large, they really just target the construction of style sheets for a particular application. They don't consider use cases of distributing style sheets or sharing them to be particularly important. Though I have seen some things on their issue tracker of late that seems like that might be changing. And because of that, they really don't have an analog to Compass, which is my framework. And Compass is really a framework built on top of SAS that provides a whole lot more tools. It's kind of a standard library that you can use on top of SAS, where SAS is just the language itself. So what does SAS provide? First of all, SAS is built in Ruby, so you'll need to get Ruby installed on your dev environment at the very least. But we provide variables, mixins, which we've mentioned several times now. But what is a mixin? It's really just like you might think of it as a macro for generating CSS, or you might think of it as a fragment of CSS that you can kind of, like a stamp, you can chunk, put it all around your style sheet and maybe vary it each time you place it there. And SAS has two different syntaxes. We have an indentation-based syntax.
Which is awesome.
Which lots of people are very passionate about.
Or passionate against.
But most people actually quite dislike it, except the people who use it and love it with all their hearts. We have a CSS-based syntax, which aims to be as compatible with the CSS grammar as possible. To use the indentation-based syntax, you name your file with a .sass extension. And to use the CSS-based syntax, you do .scss. As I said, SAS has this thing called Compass. It provides us a lot of useful tools. But because SAS really takes this approach of trying to enable an ecosystem of frameworks and allow people to share their style sheets with each other, there's actually a Compass competitor called Bourbon. It really goes after the Ruby on Rails market. So I do think they have a version now that you can use without Ruby on Rails.
And it's just okay, right?
it is not as feature complete as Compass, and they would consider that a feature, and I would consider that just they haven't been around long enough.
How long has SAS been around? And then related, how long has Compass been around?
SAS has been around since at least it's coming up on 6 years now. And Compass for about four.
Right, so they're well aged in the web world.
Yeah, I mean, I think most people probably really heard about them in the last 2 years, which is kind of when we started to hit more of the mainstream status. And now, they're talking about SAS at like Google I/O and stuff like that. So I think we made it. I think we might be mainstream now.
Could be.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
And the other thing that because SAS really is trying to provide this ecosystem that allows people to share, we take our syntax very, very seriously, and we try to be very measured in how we roll out changes. We take backwards compatibility very seriously, and we tend to evolve the language fairly slowly over time. And we try to strike a balance between how powerful it is versus how intuitive it is for new users. So I would say like SAS really tries to just be kind of a middle of the road basic platform for people who need to write CSS because that's their job. So there's a few others that are super popular. And then there's like 10, actually there's a total of like 15 CSS preprocessors out there.
Wow. Really, who knew?
But some of them have great ideas. But so Stylus is the other, like, kind of say major one. It's built for Node.js. You get a whole bunch of cool things in Stylus. It has a framework called Nib that is a compass analog, and they really come with an approach of being super powerful and super flexible. There's lots of magic behind the scenes. You might write something that looks very much or exactly like CSS and get different output. And they think that's lovely. We in SAS, we actually think that makes debugging hard, but
it's a little confusing.
It's just their philosophy. And, mm-hmm. if that's what you're looking for, if you're looking for something that gives you a gun and lets you shoot yourself in the foot with it, then yeah, stylus is really your thing.
It's not a stylus, it's a gun in disguise.
If you're amazing at style sheets, you're probably, stylus is probably a good choice for you. Because you know the limitations, you understand how preprocessors work and what their limitations are. And so if you just feel like SAS is just a little too constraining for you, then, stylus is more your thing. Now, if stylus feels too constraining for you,
let's move on to
you can use Rework, which is TJ Hellowaychuk's new imagining of how stylus should have been built, which is, so he's building a framework for building CSS preprocessors, and now he's going to port stylus, or not really port it, but re-implement stylus on top of Rework.
Wow. So Diaries of a Bad Man, kind of.
Yeah, I love TJ, he's awesome. So this is Rework is, if you want to experiment, you want to build your own CSS preprocessor, if you think you know a better language and you could do style preprocessors better, then Rework is your thing. But of course, you're not going to get any portability of style sheets from project to project now. Because every language is kind of customized for just your project.
Wasn't TJ a contributor to SAS for Compass along the way? Or did he ever contribute?
I don't remember him.
I thought I remember him being in the issue queues quite a bit.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he would hop into our issue queues, from time to time and just, chat with us.
Heckle.
We do the same with him.
Yeah.
We file heckle, bugs basically. On each other.
So lots of stuff out there. But SAS and Compass have been around for a while, and obviously near and dear to your heart, Chris. I'm curious, just generally, real quickly, like for the front end bots, like have you used other CSS preprocessors, and is SAS the standard that you use now, or is it a mix of things?
I think SAS is definitely the standard we use now. Although when I started at Lullabot, we were using Less, and I know that was a big favorite of Sean Lang at the time, although I'm pretty sure we've done a good job of converting him over to the SAS mindset. I've used Stylus before a couple times in my own projects, but I still prefer SAS just in general.
Yeah, I'm the same. Just I came in, saw the two options, did a little bit of reading, and basically been SAS the entire time. And from everything I read, between then and now, it just kind of reaffirms that, that was the right choice. And that's certainly where a lot of the industry is going. And it's the standard at many, many companies. So happy to stay there.
And I came in and converted everything from Less to SAS.
Thank
basically
you.
What I started. Yeah.
Yeah. See the last podcast for more info.
It's funny because we were using Less on Drupalize Me. And that was my first introduction to all this. And at first I was like, I don't want to learn something else. I just want to write my CSS. What? And then I was like, ooh, variables. so we used Less on that, and that was all good and well and stuff like that. And then, but we're switching to SAS as well. I mean, partially because Lullabot as a whole is sort of, moving to SAS, but also just because it does feel like the industry as a whole is moving to SAS. The Drupal world has a lot of SAS stuff that's going on. And things like having the Zen theme basically come with that, out of the box, and a lot of things that are set up to work with it just make it, frankly, easier to just dig in and get it done. So that's the reason we've moved over to SAS. And honestly, like I'm not a front end developer. I dink around with HTML and CSS and I get the job done ish. But I just really enjoy using a CSS preprocessor. I'm not in the weeds enough to have a strong opinion about which one is better or anything like that. But I just like to have a tool that I know that other people are using and I can get help with and that, you know, is sort of out there and done. So, but my takeaway from the whole thing though is I don't care which one you use, but you really should be using a CSS preprocessor because it makes life so much nicer. I'll just leave that there. So one of the questions we have in here is, what's up with LinkedIn? And I believe that that would refer to the fact that, so Chris recently got a job with LinkedIn. And I guess a lot of people are wondering, like, what does it have an impact on your involvement with SAS and Compass in terms of the roadmap going ahead or not?
Absolutely. So I have a big blog post about this on my blog, chrisepstein.github.io, where you can read about all the details of this. But so basically, I'm given 50% of my time that I can devote to open source. However, I choose to invest that, and so that's primarily SAS and Compass. At LinkedIn, they're huge SAS and Compass users. Basically every product in LinkedIn uses SAS and Compass. And so they have 100 or so web developers and they're all writing SAS pretty much every day.
Wow.
And so it made sense for them to invest in this technology. the other 50% of my time is really spent working with the people at LinkedIn to improve their front end infrastructure. So I'm actually on a team that's called the Presentation Infrastructure Team. And this team is responsible for services that do like real-time munging of view files and also like tool chains and things like this for the web developers. And so one of the things I'm hoping to do there is just really understand how they're using SAS, understand how it's like at that scale, like what are the limitations they're up against? And, you know, some of these things are like SAS is slow to compile. Now, if you have to only compile 10 style sheets or 20 style sheets, you might be annoyed that it takes 5 seconds to compile your style sheets, but they have to compile 1,100 style sheets. And so it takes them a while, and they would really like SAS and Compass to be faster. So I get to spend some time really looking at how to make it much more efficient and performant. And then also to look at their dev processes, see what they're doing with their frameworks, and see how the SAS language can enable them and how their usage patterns can feed back into the SAS community to provide new insights to how the language works. I've spent a lot of time in the last 4 years or so talking to people on the internet, on Twitter. I think you get a certain kind of person who will like yell at you on Twitter and ask you for help or will like come to you with ideas. But at LinkedIn, I have the ability to go to those people who are a bit more shy and sit with them and say, can you show me what you're working on and how I can make your life easier and really get their super candid advice. I don't know. Like maybe I'll learn the same things I would learn from the people who yell at on Twitter, or maybe I won't. And so I think there's just a lot of win-win for me to have this really fast feedback loop between SAS language features, Compass framework abilities, and how they're using it. So it should be a win-win for everybody.
Nice. So prior to the job at LinkedIn, though, like. So SAS Compass, they're free. It's like this open source thing. So like, were you just doing it in your free time or like just hanging out, working on
it?
Yeah. Yeah.
So before LinkedIn, I worked at a startup called caring.com. And it was very hard to leave there cause I was the first engineer. But I was there for about 6 years. And during the course of working there, found SAS, which was really just a Ruby on Rails thing at the time. And Compass kind of fell out of us porting to SAS and wanting to use Blueprint, and then me pushing on the SAS language and saying it wasn't good enough to implement the Blueprint language in a concise way. And so I was one of those people who went on the internet and found the maintainer of the project and yelled at him. and that person is Nathan Weizenbaum, who is the lead developer of SAS and is amazing. You know, I've been programming for like 25 years. And he's probably the best programmer I've ever worked with. So, you know, he's just brilliant. And so working with him, I've been able to evolve the SAS language and kind of show him what I think the needs are. And then we work together to craft syntax and capabilities and things like that. He doesn't write as much CSS, but I think he has amazing intuition when it comes to what languages should do and how they should behave and stuff like that. So he's a huge asset to our community. He's not as public as I am. You know, He tends to maintain a low profile, but he's super important.
Nice.
But yeah, so it came out of my work at caring.com. They were a startup, so we didn't really have the ability to say, like, go work on this for a ton of my time. So I mostly would just work on it in the evenings, on the weekends. I have a very understanding wife who I told her when I found this project and got it going, I told her, this will change things for us, baby. And she's like, uh-huh, okay.
She's like, I love you anyway.
I'll see you next year.
Yeah. But my life had really reached this point where like caring.com had grown and become hugely successful. And it was like a 60 to 70 hour a week job just to do that. And then SAS and Compass kept getting more successful and became also like a 40 to 60 hour a week job. And I have a 7 year old daughter and I was just like, I am drowning. I cannot do all this. So I really set SAS and Compass aside for about 8 months. Focused on my job and got us onto a new product vision and things like that. But at the end of that, I was really missing my open source world and decided that it was time to go focus on that full time.
Nice. Well, I think a lot of people are very happy. Yes. Cheers. Okay. So history kinds of stuff and context kind of, I think, established. In terms of like, I think one of like the, so like there's these cool tools, you know, like you have your variables, you have your mixins, I can do fun things, but like now we're talking about using a language to generate our CSS. And there are a lot of extra things that are going on. And so I'm curious about your guys' experience actually using CSS preprocessors, you know, in your actual work, and how do you manage your CSS now? Like, I mean, way back you just had one CSS file, or maybe you wanted to split it into a couple of files, one for layout, one for everything else. Like, but like, how do you actually deal with managing using a CSS preprocessor to generate all your CSS rather than just the old fashioned way? Has it changed the way you work?
Yeah, I certainly can take that. I was thinking about this recently, and actually I'm writing up a couple of presentations to give in the next few months kind of about those topics. And I remember back when first getting to CSS, and I'd see people's CSS sheets that had like a table of contents at the top. And I was like, that's the coolest thing. Like, there's a table of contents, so I can easily get down to different sections and all this kind of stuff. And I never did that. I never spent the time to do something like that because it was difficult to manage. It's difficult to update. And inevitably, when you need to add a style, you go to the bottom of the page and you add a style and you hope that no one ever sees it because it's a horrible thing to do. But now with SAS, I think the thing I like about the most is just the fact that you're able to take all of your like chunks, all of your like the style for this block in the sidebar, I'm going to put in a partial and I'm going to put that in some really sensible folder structure. And it just makes a lot easier to find that, to make changes, to know where changes need to be made, and it just make things a lot more manageable.
Anybody else got any thoughts? Or did that just totally sum it up?
Yeah, I mean, that definitely sums up a huge part of it.
Micah nailed it!
Yeah, really, dude. Good job. I think it also forces us to think about projects further ahead than we used to. It requires more forethought to use something like SAS or any preprocessor, really, because you can run into a lot of problems. Super deep nesting can really screw you up down the road. So it pays to think about it ahead of time.
I think also one way that preprocessors might be changing the way you approach development now is I think you can expect to have a lot more stuff come kind of batteries included. So you can get frameworks and little plugins and whatnot that can help you conform to some of the best practices that have been developed by the CSS experts out there. And even though you might yourself not be the CSS ninja, you can have ninja-like abilities by building on top of what they've created. And so when it comes to creating layouts or managing your media queries or making sure that you're hitting all the right browsers when you're building for the myriad browsers out there, or if you really want a great typography system, or lots of widgets, like you should expect to be able to go out on the internet and find plugins and install them and basically get to a really great looking website much faster. Now there's learning curves there, but I think traversing those learning curves is still faster than developing those core competencies yourself. And then you can kind of dig down into them as you see fit.
I think grids are a perfect example of that, of the insane math that goes into a flexible grid with responsive design is just not something you want to tackle. And making adjustments like bleed and pushing and pulling and all those kind of things, it's incredible what a grid framework can do for your project. It frees up the need to worry about that, and you can just move on to actually styling things and just let the grid do what the grid needs to do.
Cool. So I don't want us to run too long, and there's two main things I still want to make sure that we touch on. And one is there's a new version of SAS coming, and I am super curious to know what's in the new version. Like, what's exciting about this?
Okay. So I would say the biggest feature that's landing and has already actually landed on our pre-releases is source map support.
Huzzah! So,
yeah.
Double huzzah. And
if you're using Chrome at the very least, I think you can basically edit and view like your SAS source in your DevTools, as opposed to seeing the generated CSS and then having to kind of work your way back in your brain to where that came from.
Nice.
And it was amazing because that feature was actually contributed to SAS from the Google Chrome team.
Ah, cool.
Because they wanted to make sure that they had they had it working with JavaScript, but they needed it to work with at least one CSS preprocessor. So they helped us out. And then we've got a bunch of new string manipulation functions that have landed, and we are working super hard to get a bunch of new stuff in. And if you follow us on our issue tracker, you will see lots and lots of conversations about what form these are taking. I would say the two major features that we've basically decided on and how they're going to work is a new data structure for called a map, which is like an associative array or whatever you want to call it. So keys and values. And that will basically let people do lots of things that they haven't been able to do before. You could map all of the different values for a particular theme in a map instead of having all these different theme variables, something like that. And the other thing is that the ampersand, which is, I think all the CSS preprocessors have a concept like ampersand, which is that you can reference your parent selector in a nested context. And so we're going to expose the ampersand to SAS script, which is the scripting language that's built into SAS. And this will allow you to basically munge your selector. If you want to get the last component of your selector, or if you want to insert a selector class just above the last parent or something weird like that, you can start to really get a lot of power with respect to selector generation.
That's awesome.
It'll also
Yeah, looking forward to that.
Yeah, you can also do like if you do modules, more like how SMAX would do it or OOCSS.
BEM.
Then ampersand is a big in SASScript is going to really enable that. And then we're also really go ahead.
Sorry, yeah, I think it'll be really helpful for the BEM syntax and creating module names with your naming. I seen a gist that you posted a while back on how that'd be helpful. I thought it was super awesome.
Yeah, it's something that people have been asking for a long time, and so we were trying to be very careful in how we introduced it and hit a lot of use cases with a very small amount of features. And then the last thing is in SAS 3.3, where it becomes an error for you to use at extend inside of a like a media block or a at supports rule, et cetera. And so people are actually kind of confused by this, and there's really good reasons, because the preprocessor runs it before the browser loads, and those rules match kind of inside the browser. So we can't conditionally apply extends. And so we have to make this into an error, because a lot of people were getting confused at why it didn't work. But I think there are still some use cases that are really important. And so before this becomes an error, we're trying to figure out what language features we have to add to make sure that people's primary use cases are still met. We're looking very hard at that. And I also want to make some functions for managing lists more easily. And there's a bunch of other stuff that smaller things. But I think this will be a good evolution of the language itself, the core syntax. And then Compass 0.13 will be coming out, and it's just going to be a boatload of bug fixes from my hiatus away.
Right on. Do you have, I know it's horrible in an open source project to ask about timelines, but do you have any kind of general idea of when 3.3 would be coming out?
As soon as possible.
Exactly.
I'm really hoping that it can be in the next couple of months.
Cool. All right. We'll keep our eyes open. And of course, it's open source, people. If you want to help make it happen faster, you can always get involved and actually help. There's that, you know.
Absolutely.
And I'll put a link in the podcast notes for the issues so that people can go, you know, see what's going on and get involved, help out.
Are there any particular needs that the project has right now?
Compass has a ton of needs. We have about 200 open issues at this time. And I think it's much easier for people to contribute to Compass than it is to SAS. So if you guys have some time, please hop in and help us out there.
Cool. All right. And then we do need to start wrapping it up a bit. But the last thing I wanted to talk about, and specifically to put out to the bots, is talking about working with SAS and Drupal, because of course we tend to use Drupal on our projects. You know, I mean, SAS, it's just, you know, it's CSS, it's the web, it's HTML and CSS. It's not like there's like some, you know, craziness necessarily happening there. But when using SAS with Drupal, what are things that either trip you up or make it easier if you do this or do that? Or, you know, what are the frustrations or the glories of using SAS with Drupal specifically?
I think Chris Bullman should take this one.
Does he have off. Strong feelings on this?
Yeah.
Well, I think the biggest problem with using CSS in Drupal is overriding Drupal styles. And generally, the first thing I do in every project is drop that, because it's always coming into play. But really, you treat Drupal theme like any other web project. You can set up a SAS structure utilizing component partials and really just make everything a component like you would do in any other project. And without Drupal's CSS getting in the way, you can honestly, you know, sort of forget about the whole Drupal aspect. You can do, of course, overrides for your modules and whatever. But apart from that, you know, I think that people look at it in a way that Drupal is so different and you have to use SAS a certain way in Drupal. And I think that idea should be shed for sure.
The biggest problem with Drupal is Drupal.
Yeah.
Right on. It's not so much Drupal and SAS, but Drupal and CSS and just that classic issue that people have anyway.
General,
it doesn't relate to SAS per se, really.
Right. And, you know, that's, you know, supposedly getting fixed a bit. In fact, the CSS coding standards and stuff for Drupal core and D8 just got pushed through. So that's been committed, I think. Well, it's marked as fixed in the issue queue, so it should be committed pretty soon. And things should become better out of that. So cross your fingers.
Yeah. I'll echo Chris's thoughts, though, of just treat... I mean, oftentimes, I kind of forget that I do Drupal and that I'm pretty much just working with HTML and CSS all day long. So just treat it like a normal web project, like you would normally. Find a starter theme that's like as bare bones as possible, just so that you know Drupal's not making any assumptions about your styles. And get everything into just one single style sheet that gets imported once. You know, try and pull everything you can into that system rather than depending on CSS that's brought in from other places within Drupal.
There's one module that is particularly helpful called Magic, which allows you to drop Drupal core style sheets and drop other style sheets. Definitely a good front ender tool to work with Drupal and allow you to sort of separate that.
And I think that comes from Sam Richards, right?
Yeah. Snugug, I think.
Yeah, that's right.
All right. Well, we need to wrap things up. We've covered a lot of territory. Does anybody have any last things like, oh my God, I have to say it, we're on the podcast, got to get out now? Or do you guys feel like you got it covered? Any last thoughts?
Globbing. That's all I have to say.
Oh, globbing. What is globbing? Give us the elevator pitch.
Yeah, globbing is my favorite thing in the world for some reason. Globbing is a small SAS gem that Chris actually wrote that allows you to, instead of explicitly importing every single partial that you have, it allows you to import entire folders. So, you know, if you just want to import your entire components folder in one command, it's done, which means you can change file names without screwing things up. You can add files and add folders and reorganize and not worry about having to constantly make changes to your imports every time you touch it, which helps for breaking things in extra pieces and just organizing in general.
Yeah, I'm slowly being swayed over to the globbing perspective as well. It forces you to build modularly and have less dependencies on partials, which is nice. Yeah. Chris probably has something to say about it, considering he made it.
Well, so we made it a plugin, and it's specifically for that thing that you just mentioned, which is it forces you to do things a certain way. Because if you don't do things in that really modular way, or you use it slightly incorrectly, what you'll find is you've added a new partial or a new CSS file, and it's getting imported, and it breaks things in ways you weren't expecting because you don't have control of the cascade. The files are going to get put in there in alphabetical order, and that and alphabetical is basically your only tool for getting things where you want them to be.
Ouch.
So we felt like the benefit of using a glob versus having to write explicit imports and know where what order things are going to be in was minimal, and the amount of time that you would save there versus how much time you have to spend debugging even that first time that mistake happens, you would lose all of your savings that you had made by using a glob. So we made, this is one of those times where the balance of power came down against the people who know what they're doing in favor of the people who don't. And so we made it a plugin. And we tell people when they install it, you're going to probably shoot yourself in the foot. But have fun.
Have fun. Awesome.
Yeah, but again, if you build properly, it's not something you typically run into. So,
right.
Do it right.
It's a powerful tool. Right.
We should probably also mention. Go ahead.
We should probably also mention Carwin's Chrome extension, which is incredibly useful for searching Compass docs. If you've ever used compassstyle.org, you probably agree that the search isn't that great, and I'm sure even Chris can agree to that. And Google is better. And yeah, the Chrome extension is really helpful for finding things. Check it out.
Although I will say there's an open issue where some of the suggestions don't work. It's an Omnibar extension, but I'm working on it. So
cool.
I saw that and I retweeted it. It's a really amazing project.
Thanks, man. I appreciate that.
Nice. I will put links to all of these fun little toys that you guys are talking about in the podcast notes too, so folks can come and just, you know, click and find it, so we don't make them Google, you know. I'm nice like that.
Thank you, Ed.
I also would just like to shout out to all you awesome Drupal people out there that, like, I come from the Ruby world, and so the PHP Drupal world is not necessarily something I understand very well, but I've gotten to work with so many cool and amazing people from the Drupal community through the SAS project, and I think you guys are really amazing, and it has completely changed my perspective on that whole ecosystem. And I just wanted to, like, give you guys my respect and keep doing amazing things, and thank you for all your contributions to making SAS better.
Nice. Well, thank you.
Cue collective blushing, man.
Wow. Oh, group hug. Come on, everybody.
Thank you.
We love SAS.
Awesome. Oh, okay. We can end on that cute note. Thanks to everybody for being on the podcast. This was a whole lot of fun. I learned about some new tools to go play with now, so I'm excited about that. And I will look forward to SAS 3.3 in the future. I won't say near future, I'll just say future. Cool. Well, thanks a lot, everybody. For our dear listeners out there, have fun Drupaling and sassing. Until next time, see ya.